How's the car wash interview been?
Hey man, it's been a whirlwind, and it's been really cool to see how many people have just reached out and go and grab coffee this morning, and two or three people stop you and say congrats and welcome to Pullman, and just the support here is really, really fun to just be a part of.
Take us through it. I think Cook fans would love to know this. Like, take us through the process. Like, how fast did this whole thing kind of come together for you?
Yeah, well, you know, when Kyle left, I knew it was going to be a look, something to look at and talk to people. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where I've never really been through the process. Like, I've gotten jobs offered and stuff like that, but I've never really been too serious about it because I loved Eastern so much. And I saw a really, really clear path to building something special. But this one was, you know, Washington State's a big time deal, and it was just such a big opportunity. And once it finally hit a couple of days ago, I've still got 300 something texts and these calls, and I had no idea I knew this many people, right? I'm trying to prioritize just making sure the players that are here understand what I'm about. And making sure that the players, my players back at Eastern, understand like how much I love them, and just it's one of those deals where I had to take it.
Take us through that, because I think, you know, David, there's such a human side to it, right? I mean, you're coming to a new job, you're excited about that new job, you're meeting new players, you're meeting new people within the university, but then at the same time, there's an old group back there. Players that you fostered all these relationships with that you kind of need to wrap up. I mean, is it bittersweet? How would you describe that to us who really would never go through anything like that?
Yeah. It's a really big range of emotions, right? Cause you're going through all this excitement about coming to Washington State and meeting these new people, and everyone's so just passionate about it all. But then when you get a second, or you get a call from one of your old guys, or, you know, right when I got the job, my first thing to do was call my old players and make sure they understand what's going on before they see it on Twitter or whatever. And so just the ups and downs of being so excited and then just being heartbroken too. I love Eastern Washington. Like that, 13 years is crazy amount of time to spend at a place coaching. The relationships I've got with the administration, with the people on campus, with donors, but like just friends, like the people, I got people who would run the tailgate, and I would go to the tailgate every time, and just made the job so much fun. After the games, we'd go out and talk after the games, after the media stuff, with all these people that just love Eastern Washington. They love the area, and just to say goodbye to them and just have to leave something that you built. Like, I feel a lot of ownership over that place, where it was 13 years ago, it wasn't really the same kind of program basketball wise, success wise, and just the energy in the program. And so that part was really hard. But then you come back and you see the looks on these guys' faces at Washington State, and going in the room with the players at Washington State yesterday and seeing them and meeting them and feeling the love from those guys. That's a special group, man. The group at Washington State last year, all the way down the line, all those guys are great people. Obviously, they're good basketball players. You don't make it that far and have that kind of season without being good players. But they're just good dudes.
You mentioned early on there were some other opportunities, maybe early on in your career to for jobs, but nothing quite this big. What made this one the right choice at the right time for you?
Yeah, I think just making sure it's a school that I can share the values in, and that's about the right stuff. You know, there's schools that sell their location, or they sell the weather, or they sell we're smarter than everybody, you know, whatever they want to sell. It's just like Washington State sells the community. Like they sell just being a Coug, and like that, the college town is something that really resonates with me. My uncle was the football coach, he coached a lot of places, but when I grew up, he was the Oregon State coach, and I was always in Corvallis, and I loved Corvallis and the atmosphere.
Yeah. For people who don't know,
go ahead. Sorry.
For people who don't know, David, David's uncle is Mike Riley, of course, the famous, the very successful football coach at Oregon State. So I mean, just the background. Your family is it's crazy. Like, you guys were born to coach. Like, is there someone in your family? I mean, list everyone that coaches in your family, because it's almost as if someone, if you don't coach, it's like I can have this vision of you guys at like a Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner. Like, the people that don't coach, they have to go sit like at the little kids table or something, so the big kid table can like talk coaching.
No, there's so many coaches in my family, and you know, my dad's the only smart one. He's an anesthesiologist at Stanford. I mean, he's like the one of the best, probably the leader in the world in anesthesiology. Like, you don't get to Stanford to do that job by accident. And it's funny, we always make fun of him. Like, you got Mike and my grandpa. My grandpa was a coach all over the place. He finished up in the CFL. He was at Oregon State as a defensive coordinator. He started his career at we played at Idaho. His coaching career started at Wallace High School. Up in northern Idaho, and so he was the football coach there. My brother is coaching with the Ravens right now. He's in year four with the Ravens.
What does he do for the Ravens?
He's a QC there. He's got a crazy story too. I mean, he was in college a backup quarterback, and one summer he decided that he wanted to start diving into the film study. So he wrote a book on Oklahoma's offense, and he sold a bunch of copies and made a bunch of money on this stuff and started some dialogue with coaches. And right out of college, he got a job with the Ravens because Harbs had read some of his studies. And it's just like, we're kind of one track mind family, and we get dialed in on one thing. And so, you know, my dad and my sister are the two odd ducks, I guess. So my sister's, She's working as a program. She went to programming school. She lives in Portland, and my dad is you know, he just moved back up to the West Side. But they were the two non coaches. But yeah, there's a lot of coaching in the family, and that's the thing that's exciting. Like, going up at Christmas and Thanksgiving, and just hearing their stories and the relationships they had, and kind of hearing that was what guided me into getting into coaching.
Okay, so what you must take something from all of them. There must be a lit of all your uncles and your family members, grandpa, that have coached. You must take a little piece of something from all of them. Is there a connection? What is it that you take from them and have used in your own coaching career?
I think just kind of the overall philosophy of wanting to help people. Like, of course we're competitive. Like, there's a side to it that we love, with just the competing thing and winning and trying to do that. But the idea of being able to support someone reach their dreams is what makes it special. Like, when we would go to Christmas, it wasn't about the games necessarily. It was about this cornerback who ran a 5.1 40, but was competing in the NFL because he was so smart, and he had this and that. And it's just like all these kind of underdog stories, or these stories about guys that beat the odds and they helped them get to this, or they were able to support them do this. And just to hear these guys that really achieved their dreams and come back and thank the coaches. Like, when my grandpa, we went, I think it was like the 50th anniversary for Wallace High School's best football team, and we went up to Wallace, Idaho, middle of nowhere, and they filled out this whole conference room, and it was just story after story of what my grandpa did for him. And it wasn't about football; it was about everything else. And just kind of seeing that when I was in high school really kind of opened my eyes to what kind of impact you can have as a coach.
Okay, so I gotta know, you have a degree like in mathematical economics. Okay, so if basketball doesn't work out, what are we doing with mathematical economics?
That was one of the decisions that my first 2 years at Eastern Washington, I was in grad school, and I got my degree in sports admin for grad school, and I got a lot better GPA in that than the math and econ. But that's where I was like, year two, I'd made about $15,000 total. And And I'm like, what the hell? I turned down all these job offers down in Silicon Valley right out of college to make money. And all my friends are going on these vacations and stuff. And I'm, you know, asking Craig Elo, who's an assistant there, to buy me lunch. Like, this is, it was, so there's some second guessing going on there. But no, just there's a lot of stuff you can do with the analytical side. And I think that helped me in coaching some, you know, and just, I don't think I'm quite as analytical as Kyle was and with the nerd ball stuff, but I use it to my advantage, I think. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business about people, and the math helps or the degree helps, but coaching's a little different.
All right. What is a word or words to describe like how you want to coach and how you want your team to play?
I think family's big, right? Like my last 2 years, we talked about the first meeting, like our number one goal is to be the most cohesive team in the country. That's our first goal of the year. And because there's a lot of teams where they're only cohesive if they win. If things are going well, then they become this cohesive team. And it's like, that shouldn't really be how it is. It should be the cohesion leads to winning. And that's how the real teams that are salt, rock solid are built. And so the family atmosphere and the trust piece is really, really big. And I think that shows on the floor, right? Like, we were top 10 in the country in assists. We're top 10 in the country in 2-point field goal percentage, and you know, top something in right up there in overall field goal percentage. And so we take great shots. We're unselfish. We move the ball. We make the extra pass. I think those are some really big things. And then the last one is you got to be gotta have some fire in you. You got to compete. You know, Eastern Washington, we weren't getting we had one of the lower budgets in the school and in the conference, right? And so we weren't out there with all the bells and whistles, but when you were going to feel us when you played us, like it was going to be a competitive game, and we were going to try to take your heart out every second of that game. So I think the competitive piece is huge.
You kind of touched on it a little bit there about moving the ball, the assist, you know, in shooting. What is your offensive philosophy? How would you describe, for someone who hasn't seen Eastern play and seen what you guys do? Cougar fans have seen it because they had played you a couple times, and then you beat them in the NIT. What was it, last year, right? I think it was when you knocked him out. Offensive philosophy, what does it look like for fans who haven't seen it?
It's concept offense. So we're not running a bunch of sets. We're trying to create an advantage early in the shot clock, whether it's through a ball screen, a post-up, an away screen, you know, some sort of advantage. And if we can get, you know, a shoulder pass someone, or we can draw a little bit of help and create a long closeout, then we're just going to go play and let you guys be creative within that space. And we call them bailout spots. So if I go drive down the lane, and if we run this concept offense and it's a bunch of selfish guys, it looks awful. It looks really, really bad because guys are taking that first shot off that advantage. If you have unselfish guys, you create that advantage, you make the extra pass, and now we spend the majority of our time working on the spacing after the play after the play. Right. And so that's where you get the drive, the kick, the extra pass, the extra drive. You see the Spurs basketball from, you know, 10, 15 years ago when they had Ginobili and those guys, and then making the extra passes. And there's a lot of European concepts to it where we're playing together. But really, it's based on concepts, not off sets.
OK, so earlier today, Jalen Wells, who could come back, announced that he's going to go test the NBA waters, but did leave open the door to return to college. And I saw that he was there. It's a number of these guys that were in the portal, I put their names in the portal, were there at your press conference today. How, I would assume these conversations have already started with him to gauge what they want to do. What can you tell us about guys like Chinyelu, Wells, Yakimovsky, about where they're at right now with their decision making?
I think they're open-minded. Like, it's been so early in the process. I met with the full team yesterday. I've had some phone calls. I haven't had time to do the one-on-one sit-downs. It's been a blur for the last 2 days. And so I'm hoping over early next week to knock some of those out. But the thing I felt in that room was that there's a lot of love with those players, and they really, really care about Pullman. They care about the university. They care about each other, and they want to be here, but they also have their own individual goals, and I need to sit down with them individually and see what those are and see what that means and how I can help them reach those. And I want them back, obviously, but we got to make sure it's best for them. And I think that's that's going to be my job to show them and show them that clear path and my vision for them and why it makes sense for them to run this back. And we got a heck of a team out here if we can do that.
Now, I know that when you're looking at me, is now for the audience that's just listening to this on the podcast and not watching it on PuckSports.com or YouTube, I mean, I know you can see what a great athlete I probably look like. You can probably just feel it coming through the camera here.
Now, sure.
I want you to pretend that I'm Miles Rice, and I want you to pitch me on coming back to
I like it. No, I think my big thing, to be totally honest with you, is I couldn't do that right now. The first meeting is about asking him what he wants. Like that's the honest to God. Like even my first meeting with the whole team, it was a little bit about my background, a little bit about, you know, some concepts and how we're going to run the program. But that was 5 minutes of it. The next 30 minutes was me asking them what made them special, what made them tick, what made them. What them had such a fun year last year, and really getting a gauge on that, and then being able to respond, because I'm not good at the playing the back channels or doing this. I'm gonna be real, like I'm gonna be who I am. If they ask me a question, I'm gonna give them an honest answer, and I think they appreciate that. I think everyone appreciates that, obviously, and so it's gonna be big on, like, you know, what his goals are, what his mindset is, what he values. And I need to get to know him first before I can really, really make that pitch. Now, basketball wise, hey, imagine what you can do with all this space and all this and the pace we play with. And, you know, we're setting ball screens every time we're going down, we're getting down the lane. You're able to be creative and be yourself. He's one of the most creative players I've ever seen. You know, we talked about that after we played him this year, like that kid's good. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that are easy with the basketball piece, but it's about the person, and I just want to find out from them, you know, what makes them tick first. Okay. So that wasn't a real good answer. I'm sorry.
No, it was good. I liked it. I liked it. I like it. You want to respect the process. You respect your relationship with him and getting to know him first. I totally get it. I asked people on social media to throw in a few questions for you real quick. We'll wrap it up with this. Justin wanted to know, historically, Wazoo teams have hung their hat on being a top 50 defense. You know this team's going to be good offensively, defensively. We haven't talked about that yet. Kind of everyone's committed to it, but what's kind of your philosophy along those lines?
Yeah, we're going to be physical and we're going to protect the paint. Like those are going to be two things. Now I want to get our ball pressure up. I felt like we weren't as good at that the last couple of years, and I got some ideas, and we're going to bring some staff in that can help with that. I think the level of athlete that we can recruit here will help that. And so the defense is one. Like Kyle has a heck of a defense that got him in the tournament. Tony Bennett obviously is one of the best defensive coaches in the history of the game. And so that's the two very, very, very successful coaches that have done it. Have hung their hat on defense, and they've also been a little bit of a unique style. Like Nerd Ball's unique, the pack line and that pace that Tony Bennett plays at is unique. And so we're gonna be tough as hell on defense, just like those two guys were. But offensively, we're very unique. You know, Mike Leach had a pretty unique offense. I mean, I know it's a different sport, but like you can be unique in different ways. But that's, we're going to be tough as hell. We're going to be physical and we're going to protect the paint. And that's kind of our big thing defensively. And I'm excited to be able to recruit to that and hopefully improve that as well.
Another question comes in, and there's a lot in here about, you know, your players that are at Eastern. And I know you can't talk about guys that are in the portal and all that. But the question was around this: what's your philosophy in recruiting high school guys, and then weighing that against the portal? How do you handle that?
Yeah, I'm very, very big on development. Like that's the only way I know how to do things. And you can develop in a year, or you can develop in 4 years. Like you can develop freshmen, you can develop guys in 1 year for sure. I believe that you build championship teams with 4 year guys. That doesn't mean you can't have transfers that come in and play huge roles. Like we've had transfers that have come in and been the MVP in year one. Like that you can definitely mix and match, but you need a core of freshmen that can come in and develop and understand the system, especially the way we play. Like and the way we practice. We don't have these long practices that are, I don't want to use boring, but like where it's 5-on-0 and you're just going against cones and you're really like, we play concept offense. We're going to do our 5-on-0 real quick. You're going to know the structure, and then we're going to go compete in some 3-on-3 and play through that. And we're going to practice for about an hour, 45 minutes. And because we do that, that doesn't kill your body. If you get a 3-hour practice and you got weights in it during the day, your body can't take it. You can't go back in the gym and get extra work in. We go short practices, but that's because the expectation is to come back with the coach and get 30 minutes of skill work in the morning. Or, you know, after practice, you got your skill work in the morning, you get your practice done, you got your weights done. The real ones might even come back and get 100 free throws up at night. And like that kind of mindset of the developmental piece throughout the season, and you're not just developing throughout the spring and summers, I think has made it special. And so we're going to carry that over, and I think that'll be a big piece of that.
Okay, last one. It's probably the most important one. It comes from Alex here on Twitter. What's your post-win beer of choice?
My post-win beer of choice. I don't know. I don't know if there's any answer I'm supposed to give in Pullman here. I love we have some really good friends down at NoLi. I love the NoLi stuff down in Spokane, and John's a great friend, and anything from there.
Anything from, hey, you hear that, NoLi Brewery? You want a sponsorship right now here for the David Riley Show on PuckSports.com? We got it for you, NoLi Brewery. I took up a lot of your time. It's been a busy day for you. Congratulations on the new gig. Congratulations on everything to you and your family. Much success there on the Palouse. And David, we appreciate the time.
All right, thanks. Go Cougs.
No shoes, no ties.
Would anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah. I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for? We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!